And that each one of us will walk away with something fresh, something new, something challenging, something that's a blessing. And I ask for the moving of your Spirit amongst us in Jesus' name. And everyone said, I was at a prayer meeting with local pastors up in the Highlands a few weeks ago. I meet with a group of, they're mostly Pentecostal pastors, every Tuesday morning for an hour, and we pray together. Several different denominations and leaders of different churches, and we're praying away there, and you know, Shondai, and doing the praying over the district, and it was wonderful. And one of the pastors came with this word, and it was Psalm 35 and verse 2. And I want to, verse 27. So I want to touch on that and unpack that this morning a bit. We're going to do a bit of a word study. Is that all right? So we all get on the same page with what's written there. It goes like this: let them shout for joy and be glad who favour the righteous cause, my righteous cause. Let them say continually, the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And that's the line that grabbed me. Grabbed me. Who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And so I began to chew on it. You ruminate. It's in my mind. I'm thinking about it. As I doze off to sleep, I'm thinking about it. And as I wake up, I'm thinking about it. And I'm out walking in prayer, I think about it. And I'm mulling it over and chewing on it. And you know what I mean? It sort of got into me, and I couldn't get it out of my head or my heart. And so about 3 days later, I'm walking along. I'm out walking. This is about, 5:30 in the morning, and it's just on daylight. And I'm walking along one of the paths in Mossvale, and it's cold and it's icy and it's damp. And I'm minding my own business, just wandering along praying. And this scripture's in the back of my mind, just, you know, twirling around in there somewhere. Scary place, my mind. And everyone said, amen. Anyway, here I am walking along, and I look down on the pathway. And here sitting there was a $50 note. I said, hallelujah! I got it, God. It's my pleasure to prosper you, Paul. I got it. So I picked the $50 note up and I kept walking. Thank you, Lord. How are you going to give back a $50 note? You don't know who's dropped it there or no wallet or anything like that. Another 30 yards up the road, there's another one. I said, whoo, hallelujah. So that's 100 now. Thank you, Jesus. You got my attention, God. You have got my attention. We're going to look at this word. We're going to pick it apart a little bit. And all that was for just to get my attention, I'm sure, and to make sure I understood that this was important. Now, on a different side note, I took that $100 and I gave it into the church. We were sending a heap of kids to the Philippines in a couple of months' time, and I thought, I'm going to sew that in. And so I did, and I want you to know that it didn't cost me a cent. God gave it to me, and I gave it away. Didn't cost me a cent, but I felt good giving it. You know, there's a whole sermon in that, you know, in regards to tithes and giving and all that sort of stuff. He gave it to me, and I gave it away, and it didn't cost me anything. But what a lesson for God to just, okay, God, I'm on it. So I began to study this word. Now, there's lots and lots of scriptures that talk about what pleases God. Let me throw a couple at you. Let's have a look at a couple. Is that too hard to see, that one? Oh, no. He delights in his works, Psalm 104, verse 31. He delights in his works of creation, which reveal his glory. So I praise him for a beautiful morning or a stand ordered a gorgeous sunset. I am glorifying the very things that give him pleasure. Psalm 149, verse 4, he takes delight in his people, especially those who are afflicted. He will beautify the afflicted with salvation. Even when I feel lost in my suffering, what an amazing thought that my Father delights in me. Psalm 147:11, God delights in those who reverence him and trust him and put their hope in his unfailing love. Just like we heard Connie praying this morning. He delights in that. It gives him great pleasure. God does not delight in strength, but he delights in us and we acknowledge our weakness and our need for him. What an encouragement to come, even though you might be feeling under the weather, God delights in us. Proverbs 11:1, he takes delight in honesty and dealing fairly with others. What a novel thought in our society today. He takes delight in dealing when we deal fairly with others. Proverbs 11:20, he delights in those whose ways are blameless. Blameless does not mean perfect, but it just means, describes a person who strives to keep the way of God's law as the standard of right living. Proverbs 12:22, God hates lies but delights in those who tell the truth. In other words, God delights in those that are trustworthy. People whose lives and dealings as well as speech are characterized by truth-telling. Jeremiah 9:24, God delights in loving kindness, justice and righteousness. And there's a 100 other scriptures just like that. But let's go back to Psalm 35. And that line, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. It's not asking who has pleasure in our prosperity. There's no question mark there. It's not a question. Who has? You know, who has? That's not a question. It's a statement. He has. He has pleasure or delight in our prosperity. So let's do a bit of a word study and see what we can discover about that word and then about that sentence. Let's look at the etymology of some of the words and let's pull them apart a little bit and have a good squiz at them. And then we'll see what God has to say to us. Okay, let's look at the word pleasure. Just go to the next slide. I think it's, yeah, there it is. Now, when I do a word study, I get my trusty Strong's Concordance and I grab each word and in Strong's Concordance, there's a number associated with the word, and that will unpack that Hebrew word. And here it is, the word pleasure, unpack for us. There's the Strong's number, pronounced korfatz from 2654, means pleased with, delighted in, or delight in, desires, favour, please, has pleasure, whosoever would willing wish. God has pleasure. Has favour, has delight in, desires to. Got that? Is that okay? It's not too hard to understand that. Let's look at the next word. It's his great delight and great desire to what? To give us prosperity. Now let's go to the word, the next one, prosperity. Now, Loris, what's that say? Shalom. To give us shalom. Now, shalom is a common Hebrew greeting. A common, even now today, a common Jewish greeting. Shalom, which means to be, most of us say, peace. But there's so much more to that word. Let's have a look at what it means. To be safe, figuratively, well, happy, friendly. Also abstractly, to be the welfare, to have great welfare, to have great health, prosperity, peace, to be familiar. All of this, you know, health, peaceable, prosperity, rest, safety. So, well, there's more to that word than I think we've ever understood. But you can see there, the root word of that word is 7999. Let's go there for the next one. And that's shalom, a derivative from which shalom is a derivative of shalom. To be safe in mind, in body, in a state, figuratively or causatively, make completed, to be whole, to be friendly, to be, to make amends. In other words, you're at peace with, to finish, to be full, to be give, prosperous, render, restitution, restore, reward. I mean, there's so much more to prosperity than money. Is that true? When we hear the word prosperity, many of us go to just finances. And that's not right. There's so much more to it. There is welfare, there's health, there's peace, there's wholeness, there's safety, there's completeness, there's restoration, there's at peace with Godness, there's you're befriended by God, to be made safe, to be at rest. And if we only look at the word prosper as regards money, we've got it too narrow. It's too narrow. We're not seeing the whole picture there. And I guess many of you probably, if you've like me, have probably shied away a little bit from the whole prosperity doctrine thing. Yes? I mean, there have been some that have taken that scripture and taken that concept right out on a limb, out onto the edge of what is, and anything taken to an extreme becomes an error. So there are some that you'll hear and see that have taken it out there and applied prosperity only to money. And I want to say to you this morning, let's rethink that. Let's embrace that again. Let's look at that again, because there's so much more to it. It probably means perhaps even recanting what we have thought and what we about the prosperity doctrine. I want to challenge you this morning to rethink the word prosperity, to relook at the fullness of it, to get a better understanding of that word. Now, you've seen that word. You've seen that this is what God wants to do. He delights in, desires to, has pleasure in, is willing to bring good health, prosperity, peace, favor, rest, wholeness, restoration, reward, completeness in mind, body, and estate. Is there an amen in the house? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The next question is, though, are you a believer? Now, you've just seen what the word says in those three words and those unpacking of them. And that's it in a nutshell, pretty much. He delights in and desires in. Do you believe or just hope that it's God's great pleasure to make you whole? Do you believe this morning, or you just want to believe? I do too. But now I've got a dilemma. Now we have a dilemma. I believe, but believe is attacked by experience. and is often outweighed by experience. How many times have we prayed for people, loved ones, people we've cared about, people in desperate life and death situations, and our prayer perhaps wasn't answered the way we thought it should have been, or how it could have been, or how we wanted it to be. And disappointment comes. Am I in the right crowd? Have you ever felt that? I have. We're in this together. I'm no different from any of you. We've got to somehow this morning take our belief and make it outweigh our experience. Okay? Are we on the same page? Well, how are we going to do that? How do we do that? We look at that word, and we've got to decide this morning that the word we just read and the word we unpacked is true. Despite my feelings, despite my experience, despite my disappointments, despite my hopes and wishes, that word is true. Okay? That's the benchmark. Now, everything apart from that, that I'm feeling, that I've got in the back of my mind, well, God, you didn't come through there. God, I prayed for him and he had cancer and he died anyway. Well, God, let me know, my kid's still out in the never-never. He's still on the drugs. He's still an alcoholic. You know, yes, that's true. But the word is truer. And we've got to exalt the word above our feelings and above our experiences and above our disappointments. And this morning, and I'm great that we talked about praying for healing or praying for, you know, whatever, for God to move and for signs and wonders to follow the preaching of your word. Because we're going to pray for some people. As a congregation, as a bunch of believers this morning, because we've seen it in the word. Despite what we may feel, despite what we may have experienced, we're going to go for it again. And there'll be some of you that sit here and can't get past those disappointments. That's okay. I want to tell you that's all right. But there'll be some of you here this morning that can get past them, and we're going to pray together. And next time, those that are disappointed still and are overcome still. Let's just say we prayed for 10 people and we had 10 healings or something. You'd be all right with that, wouldn't you? You'd be all right with that. What if it was 8? What if we prayed for 10 and 8 got healed? We'd take that. What if there was only 5? Let's just say, well, it was 50-50 chance, God, you know. Look, what if there was only 5 got healed or touched or delivered or set free? We'd still take it, wouldn't we? What if it was only 1? What if it was only 1? And we who believed prayed for that 1 and God did something. I'm telling you now, you would own that. Every one of you would own it. Everyone in the house today would own it. Yeah, we prayed for him or her and God did something. I got my hand up. Most of you probably would have. And next time, it'd be 2. And it'd be 50 more of you believing. Because we did it last time. God came through last time. We're in this together. Are we okay? It's not heresy particularly. You know, I was praying this morning and God has a great sense of humour. Did someone say that this morning when we were in the prayer time out there? He does. He has a great sense of humour. I'm mulling this over, you see. I'm praying and Jane's still, you know, off with the pixies up there sleeping away and I'm down pushing into God, you know, and I'm praying away and I'm God, let's do this, God, let's go for it. And God, how do you want me to say this? And I have pictures, all right? I'm a seer type person. I get pictures in my head. And I pictured Jesus, there's two thrones sitting side by side, and I picture Jesus leaned across to the Father, and he said, he's a bit quirky, that one. And the Father leaned back and said, yeah, I like him like that. And they both laughed. And I'm in the lounge room laughing. I thought, yeah, that's true. How good's that? You're a good, good Father. You're a good, good Father. And I'm loved by you. I'm surprised we didn't sing that. I never asked or said, you know, this is the song I want for the service this morning. And I'm surprised we didn't sing it because that's how God works sometimes. But, you know, he's a good, good Father, and I'm loved by him. That's who I am, and that's who you are. Is there anyone here this morning that's got problem with their heart? That was the first thing I said. Is there anyone here this morning? And I don't know whether is it arrhythmia? Is it that's the thing that's really the trouble? Well, I want to pray for you. I want us to pray for you. Can you come? Sorry? Phil on Zoom. Well, listen to this, Phil on Zoom. Put your hand on your heart. Those that are just put their hand up, why don't you come? If you can, come up here and we're just going to pray for you. And we're going to do this together. Yeah, take a seat. Grab a couple of seats, guys. Sit down, that'll save me shouldering you over. Bring a couple of seats. Now, we're in this together, all right? We're just going to take 10 or 15, 20 minutes, and we're going to pray for these, and we're going to pray for other people who are thinking other things as well, whatever God unpacks to us. Okay, put your hand on your heart. And I want you to hear the words of the Spirit of God. It is my great delight. It's my great delight to make you whole this morning. It's my great delight to make you whole this morning. Anoint him, God. Holy Spirit, touch him. Kirabasutre kareyamasai. Holy Spirit, touch her. It is my great delight to bless you. It is my great delight to make you whole. How good is that? It's my great delight to bless you. Can you receive that this morning? It's my great delight to bless you. Kira basutre pere keromutreke. Lord, I thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. It is my great delight, Mark, to bless you. Thank you, Jesus. It's his great pleasure. It's his pleasure to bless you. Shalom, Loris. It's his great pleasure to bless you, to bring you wholeness and healing. And we imbibe of that, we draw on that this morning, Father, in the name of Jesus. Just put your hand on your heart there, and I want to pray for you. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus. Come, O breath of God, and touch her. It is your great delight, God, this morning, to bless her. And I thank you for it. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we might not see instant success. And a lot of those things aren't necessarily instant, are they? Peace sometimes is an instant. Peace sort of creeps up on you. And you pray for peace, and maybe a week later you realize you're not anxious. And so you think, oh, that was gone. So peace sort of grabs you and walks up behind you. Wholeness is not something that happens overnight. It's something that you walk into and something that you live into, you know. So, look, I expect God to be touching us in our heart, those that have just got prayed for. I expect that. I believe it. But the results of that may take a little while. May take a day. They might be there already. But I expect to hear something in the next few months that God has done something absolutely amazing. Now, the second word I've got goes like this. We sang a song. It's your breath in our lungs. You pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. We pour out our praise to you only. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. What are your bones like? What are your bones like? I think God wants to do something amongst a couple of you with bone problems. Yeah, off you go. If you feel like you've got what you wanted, thank you, Lord.
Just to let you know, I've got an appointment with my heart specialist soon.
Yep.
I will text you straight away.
Is there anyone here this morning that's got bone problems? Come up and sit here, and we're going to pray for you as a congregation of not no-hopers, but believers. a group of believers. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. So, Gordon's your stone for the lot. He says, I'm in this for the whole lot. He said, whatever you got, Paul, give it to me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Okay, congregation of believers, reach out. And I'm going to just grab you by the hand. Is the issue in your hands, or is it in your bones in other places? Hips, legs, knees, ankles, bells, heel and toe. Thank you, God. So, God, your word just told us it is your great pleasure. It is your great pleasure. It is your delight to bless and to make us whole. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Can I have a hand, Loris? It is your great pleasure, God, to bless Loris. It's your great pleasure. Thank you, God. The line's growing. It's your great pleasure, Father, in the name of Jesus. It is your great pleasure. Can you say that? God delights to heal me. God delights to heal you. That's true. Now, whatever else is going on, that scripture is true. And Lord, let it be today that the power of that scripture outweighs everything else. Father, in Jesus' name. Where did I get to? Did I get to you? Father, in the name of Jesus, pour out your spirit. Let it be that it's your great delight to heal and to make whole. Let it be that it's your great delight to heal and to make whole. Bones, hips, whatever's going on there, God, your touch. Arthritis, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Father, we speak healing. It is your great delight to bless, to make whole. God, it is your great delight to bless and to make whole. Thank you, God. It is your great delight, Holy Spirit, to touch. It is your great delight. Oh, let her experience that today. Thank you, Lord. Let these old bones sing. Let them sing. Let these bones sing. Father, in Jesus' name, we speak that out. We, the congregation of believers, speak it out and believe together that your word is true, that your word is true. Despite what we may see with our eyes, despite what we may have experienced all of those years, we are saying today, God, we've seen it in your word afresh. Touch us today. Father, let your anointing come, and Lord, let it be your great delight to bless and to touch and to heal and to set free. Let it be your great delight. Grab your hand. Let it be your great delight, God, in the name of Jesus. Let it be your great delight, God, despite the years of experience in other ways. Let it be your great delight, God, to bless. Same for you. Thank you, God. Let it be your great delight to touch her and to negate all of those years of disappointments. Father, in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. Kira de sukura barata bedi sikaretis. Ura basandri bere andri kativi sukura badamata. How are we doing? All right? Thank you, Lord. For those of you who are at home watching this, participating, just reach out. For those of you that have bone troubles, just reach out and just receive that today. See, God is not limited by this distance. The Spirit of God moves. Sue, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Touch her. Let perhaps the voice of experiences has outweighed the voice of the truth. But today we stand together to say that the truth is real, despite what we have experienced. Marion, where are you, Marion? Wave to me. Hello, Marion. Lord, your blessing, your anointing, your touch, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Will you receive that? Will you receive that? Will you testify to God about what he's doing in you? When church gathers again and you can get here, why don't you come and testify what God has done? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Where to now, God? We're in partnership. That's what I said to him this morning. Well, what do you want to do now? What? I only had a third of that written down. I had no idea where I was going to go with this. What are you saying now, God? What are you saying to us? What do you want to do? Thank you, Jesus. What about deafness? Hello? Hello, he says. Hello, hello, hello. What about deafness? Anyone got ear troubles? Like, yeah, hallelujah. Hello, me too. Let's pray for ourselves, eh? Stick your hand on your ear. Father, I understand that it is your great delight. It is your great delight to make us whole, to make us healed, to bring to us breakthroughs in these areas. God, we bless you this morning. God, we praise you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. When I was a young man, when I first got saved, I think I've told you the story. I experienced Pentecost for the first time with a bunch of Looney Tunes that scared the living daylights out of me. It honestly did. It was an AOG Easter Sunday rally held at Berry Showground all those years ago. And the preacher called out, those of you who would like a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. Now, I was a good Catholic boy. I gave my heart to the Lord a night before. I was a good Catholic boy. I knew that I had the Holy Spirit because the bishop had come and laid his hands on me at the ministry of the confirmation. See, so that was I knew the protocol of that. I knew what that was about. So I knew I had the Holy Spirit. No, I didn't actually. Because when he prayed for me, this preacher came up. I've told you the story. It's this funny one. It really is. There's 5, 10 people there. There's 10 people there. I'm in the middle. I'm looking back at the aisleway thinking, I've got to get out of here. How do I run without embarrassing myself, you know? He prayed for the first one and they fell over. I'd never seen that before. He prayed for them in this funny language and they fell over and started to cry. I thought, ooh, that can't be good. this is not going to be good for me. I think I was saved 24 hours. Like, this is, ooh, there's stuff here, God, that it ain't pretty. Like, you know, anyway, he prayed for the next one and they fell over and started to cry. He prayed for it and he got closer and closer to me. I said, oh, God. And I resigned myself to the fact that this was not going to be pretty. But I said to God, God, if you embarrass me, I will never set foot in one of these crazy places again. And he got to me and he prayed over me in this funny language, laughed and kept walking. I said, oh, thank God for that. And I spun and I ran. Jane was sitting in a seat with a couple of the kids and I went past her, straight out the back door. And my brother, who had taken us there, chased me. He'd been in Pentecost for a year or two. And, you know, all that stuff. And he chased me out the back. He said, what do you think of that? I said, you're a bunch of Looney Tunes, you lot. You're mad. You're crazy. And I ran. Come on, Jane, get in the car. We got the kids and strapped in. Let's go. And we took off as fast as we could get out of there. But God can catch things. God can catch you. You can't hide. You can run as fast or as long as you want. And we got about 20 kilometres. And then God literally sat in the seat beside me. So real. So real. I said to Jane, Jesus, this is Jane. Jane, this is Jesus. And she looked at me like I'd lost it. And I had. And I've never been the same. I've never been the same. I'm as loony as the rest of them were. I'm as crazy as the rest of them. Probably more so. My brother used to say to me, my older brother who looked at this, who was a Catholic, and you know, for all his life, and he looked at me and he said, it's just religious fervour. He'll get over it. I never did. Is there anyone here this morning would like a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit? Let's pray for that. Can you believe with me that that's a possibility? Can you believe with me that God would delight to touch you and make you whole and change you and bless you and bring you something fresh and new so that you might experience? I'm going to have to take my jumper off in a minute because it's getting hot here. It literally is getting hot here. Let's reach out. Let's reach out. Lord, here we are, those of you that want that fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. I went up to that altar call in ignorance and I walked away filled. God, we're coming without ignorance. We're coming because we desire your blessing. We're coming because we believed Psalm 35 and verse 27 that said it was your delight to touch us. It is your delight to bless us. So, Lord, anoint us with fresh oil. This morning, touch us afresh by your Holy Spirit. Just let him come. Let him touch you. Those of you that can speak in tongues, why don't you just join me now for just a moment of prayer in the Spirit.